Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's welcome Dane Brugler of The Athletic. He's their NFL draft analyst, getting set to put together his big draft publication and release it for you who are draft geeks. Dane, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. So Kyler Murray has declared for the NFL draft. We don't yet know what his future holds, but when you think about him as a potential NFL QB, what comes to mind?
Well, there's so many layers to the Kyler Murray discussion, and just talking about him translating to the pro game, I think, first of all, we have to talk about how the current state of the NFL is, you know, more open-minded to a quarterback like Kyler Murray, more so than ever before. A quarterback coming from a spread system, likes to use his legs, likes to move around primarily out of shotgun. A big thing will be the size, 5'9", 190 pounds. We just haven't seen a quarterback have any sustained success in the NFL with those types of measurables. I mean, you go back to Doug Flutie in the 90s, and, you know, he had flashes here and there. But, you know, it's a different animal when we're talking about those types of dimensions. And maybe more so than the worries about the height is the worries about the build and just holding up, because he's near maxed out in terms of his how much weight he's going to put on. He likes to use his legs, likes to move around. How is he going to be after he takes some hits? And, you know, when we study prospects, you like to trust the tape. You know, that tells you what he's going to be at the next level. And with Kyler Murray, it's tough to do that because he played in a conference that didn't play defense, and he played behind the best offensive line in all of college football. It makes it tough to really trust the tape and trust your evaluation. It's really going to be a fascinating conversation for NFL teams here the next few months.
When you think about him and his skill set as a young guy, that's one thing. But to think about that kind of a sustainable style of play is entirely different. I mean, there's already talk about how long Lamar Jackson can play the game that he's playing and not get hurt. How long do you think that lasts if a guy's playing like that?
You know, it's something that if you're going to draft Kyler Murray, obviously you're going to do it in the first 50 picks, somewhere probably in the first round. You know, you have to be all in terms of the play calling, in terms of protecting him, doing your best to, get him outside the pocket, helping him out. So it's not strictly just under center, 3-5, 7-step drops. I mean, you really have to change your entire offensive identity, not only to fit the strengths of [S2] Right. [S1] What he does best, but just to protect him, open up sight lines for him downfield, get him in space where he can make defenders miss. And by those second chance throws, the off platform throws. And we see what Pat Mahomes is doing in Kansas City. And when you watch Kyler Murray, you see a mini Mahomes out there because he has a whip for an arm, moves around, throws from different arm angles, and just makes things happen. But again, he played in a conference that really didn't prepare him. And we saw that in the Orange Bowl against Alabama, where they threw a different type of speed on defense at him, and it took him a little bit to adjust. So, if you're going to draft a Kyler Murray, you have to be all in, change your offensive identity, and really help him to have a prolonged career.
When you think about other quarterbacks that might be available in this draft, it seems like this is the right one for him to go in the first round, because there isn't a group like we had last year with five guys going in the first round. Who else stands out, though, in the quarterback class, Dane?
Yeah, and that's a great point. This is the year for Kyler Murray to test the NFL waters. And, you know, you could, even though that it's not a great quarterback class like last year or the year before, quarterback desperation in the NFL, it doesn't take a year off. And so there's going to be teams out there scouring the quarterback market, trying to find their guy. And when you look at this quarterback class, Dwayne Haskins, I think the moment that Justin Herbert decided to go back to Oregon for a senior year, Haskins became the favorite to be the first quarterback drafted. There's some questions about lower body mechanics, the accuracy, but he has a special arm. 50 touchdowns this year. You worry about the inexperience, only 14 career starts. You go back to 1973, there have been 100 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Only three of them had 15 starts or less. So it's, you know, rare company for a guy with that little of experience go with the first round. But I think he is the clear favorite to be the first quarterback drafted. And then after that, you're talking about Daniel Jones from Duke, Drew Locke from Missouri. I think those two are kind of in the pecking order, along with Kyler Murray trying to be the second, third, and fourth quarterbacks off the board. We'll be able to see Drew Locke and Daniel Jones next week at Mobile at the Senior Bowl. A great chance to see them both on the same field at the same time to evaluate their skill sets, because they're different. Drew Locke is a Derek Carr type. He's got a big arm. He moves well. Just worry about some of the decision making, but he has a golden arm. With Daniel Jones, doesn't quite have that same arm, but he's a more cerebral passer, a more accurate passer. The David Cutcliffe connection will be mentioned quite a bit when we talk about Daniel Jones. You see the Manning mannerisms with the way he holds the ball in the pocket, his movements, all that. So if you're in need of a quarterback this year, you know, it's not as good as last year or the year before, but there's still talent here. And so you're going to be working overtime to try and figure these guys out.
Dane Brugler is with The Athletic as an NFL draft analyst. This is his time to shine. We're getting so close again to the combine and then workouts. And before you know it, the draft will be here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thinking back to your expectations for the five quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round a year ago, or not quite a year ago, but all of them saw time on the field. We even had one get into the postseason. So how did they compare to your expectations of them coming out?
I think Baker Mayfield surpassed expectations. And, you know, that's hard to say about the number one overall pick, but, I mean, he broke Peyton Manning's rookie passing touchdown record. You know, you can't really say enough about what Baker did, especially once Hugh Jackson was fired and Freddie Kitchens became the play caller and how the entire offense changed. And, you know, it's really going to be exciting to see Freddie Kitchens, now the head coach, still going to be calling plays in Cleveland. How that plays out, that's going to be a lot of fun. You look at Sam Darnold in New York, up and down, but the flashes, especially down the stretch in the final few games, that's what you're banking on, him getting better and better and better. I think last year at this time, Sam Darnold was the favorite to be the first quarterback drafted. I still think he has a chance to be the best quarterback from last year's group, but, you know, it's just, we knew it was going to take time. And so, you know, hopefully Jets fans are a little patient with him. It's going to take a little bit. And the same thing could be said with Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. You know, two guys that showed potential. With Rosen, he didn't have a great supporting cast. There's a reason Arizona's picking number one overall this year. They were not a good football team. We'll see how the Cliff Kingsbury hire, how that might change and aid his development as a quarterback. That's really going to be an interesting domino to see how that plays out. And then, you know, Lamar Jackson, the one quarterback, rookie quarterback from the first round that did make the postseason. I still have major questions about his accuracy outside the numbers, down the field. It's something that teams are going to have all offseason to study Lamar Jackson and prepare for him and his legs and how Baltimore used him. If Lamar Jackson is going to have that long-term success in the NFL, he has to become a better passer, especially, again, outside the numbers, towards the sideline, downfield. You know, it's all about taking positive steps for him.
Right.
So eager to see all these guys in year two.
For sure. And as you mentioned, Freddie Kitchens, obviously new coach in Arizona as well, and Cliff Kingsbury. And so there are a bunch of guys are going to be going through transitions and having different voices in their heads in the second year. Who are some of the other candidates to be the first overall pick?
I think the favorite is Nick Bosa from Ohio State. He was the favorite. As soon as last year's draft ended, the 2018 draft, Nick Bosa was the favorite to be the top pick. And he got hurt in the third game of the year, had a core injury, required surgery, probably could have came back November, December, but he decided to just, you know, prepare for the combine, rehab. So the medicals at the combine are going to be paramount to Nick Bosa. He's basically a carbon copy of his all-pro older brother, Joey. But the medicals will be a question mark. And really, not just about Nick, but Joey has missed time with various injuries, most notably his foot. Their father was a former first-round pick in 1987 in the Miami Dolphins. played only 2 years because of injuries. It's something you have to worry about, and it's something that will be, you know, interpreted differently by all 32 teams. But when you look at the Cardinals, they have the number one overall pick. It'll be interesting with this quarterback group. Is there a quarterback that's going to cause one of these teams? You look at the Giants at 6, the Jaguars at 7, the Broncos at 10, the Dolphins, the Redskins. Is there a team desperate enough for that quarterback that they're going to trade up into the top 3 picks to get that quarterback? History tells us it's going to happen. Over the last 20 years, we've had at least one quarterback go in the top 5 picks. The only year we didn't was 2013. So history tells us that a team is going to trade up for one of these quarterbacks. Could it be the number one pick? And, you know, Arizona, they're going to be open for business.
They have a lot of needs.
They do.
Maybe quarterback isn't one. Maybe it is one. But they have a lot of holes to fill for sure in Kingsbury's next or first season, I should say. Dane, positions that are draft heavy, where there could be a wealth of guys coming into the league. What are a couple of those positions?
Well, it starts on the defensive line. You know, mapping out my top 50 overall draft board, the first 15, 16 picks, 7, 8 of them are on the defensive line.
Wow.
Just a loaded class. I mentioned Nick Bosa. He's the top guy. The clear number two guy, at least in my eyes, Quinnen Williams, a defensive tackle from Alabama. He
right.
was so dominant this year against the pass, against the run, power, quickness, instincts. It's all there for Quinnen Williams to be that interior disruptor. Josh Allen, the edge player from Kentucky, pass rusher and get after the quarterback. Rashawn Gary at Michigan, Ed Oliver at Houston, Jeffrey Simmons at Mississippi State, Cleveland Farrell from Clemson. So the defensive line, both the edge guys and on the interior, it's going to be the story of the first round. How many go in the first round and just the quality of prospects that they are. And outside the defensive line, I think you have to look at tight end. It's going to be one of the strongest positions this year. We could see as many as 9 or 10 be mentioned as top 100 picks, which would be a record if we get double digits in there. So I think you can go position by position and kind of pick out some areas that are strong, but defensive line and tight end really jump off the page in terms of the strongest positions this year.
NFL draft analyst Dane Brugler with us from The Athletic. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. From your perspective as someone who is picking this stuff apart, what are the pieces of the combine that are most important for teams?
Well, first and foremost, it is the medicals. And really, that's why the combine was created. It wasn't the 40-yard dash. It wasn't you know, anything else. The combine was created so these players and these teams didn't have to fly all over the country to get, you know, their doctors to get looks at each one of these guys and their injury histories and all that. The combine was created for one central location. All the prospects can come. All the teams can be in the same location. In Indianapolis is why the combine is there, because of the literally the amount of MRI machines within a mile radius. So, you know, and I think it works that it's a central part of the country as well. But, you know, that's really the central reason why we have the combine, first and foremost. And then second, I would say it's the interviews. They have a chance. Some part of it is, you know, like kind of like speed dating. You have 15 minutes with each one of these guys, so you better have your questions ready. But you can learn a lot about these players in just a short amount of time like that. And then third would be the on-field drills, a chance to, and it's really, it's a cross-checking exercise. You know, you're not going to change your grade based on a 40-yard dash or a vertical jump. It's a chance that, you know, you've seen all these players on tape. Now, how do they perform athletically? Does it match what you saw on tape? And if it doesn't, if a guy runs much better than you thought or slower, then you go back to the tape and you try to figure out, okay, what did I miss? The whole, you know, Senior Bowl next week, the combine, all the workouts, it's all one big cross-checking exercise to make sure that how they play in the pre-draft process, how they perform, matches up with how they did on the football field during the season and what you watched on tape.
Speaking of tape, have you started watching tape on the 7th grade quarterback out of Michigan who's been offered by Jim Harbaugh?
Did he really offer a
Yes, Isaiah Marshall, a 7th grade quarterback out of Southfield, Michigan, gets offered a scholarship to play for Jim Harbaugh after he's 13 years old, but apparently there's tape on him because it impressed Coach Harbaugh.
Hey, oh, you know, it's a good story. We have a player in this draft, David Sills for West Virginia. USC offered him as a quarterback when he was in middle school,
oh my
and
gosh.
He ended up not playing quarterback, went to West Virginia as a wide receiver, and he's going to be in this draft class probably a mid-round pick.
You can follow Dane on Twitter at DP Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. Do you have a book coming out?
Yeah, The Draft Guide, The Beast, you know, if people love it. It's go in-depth on all these players. You know, my job as an analyst is to paint a picture, tell you exactly what these players are, how they project to the NFL, you know, strengths, weaknesses, their background information, everything you need to know. And so, you know, best way for people to find out all that information is follow me on Twitter at DP Brugler, and follow what we have going at The Athletic. A lot of great draft coverage going on, so it's been a lot of fun.
All right, Dane, thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
You too, Amy. Thanks.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Gurley gets the carry, bursts up the middle at the 30-yard line, turns left to the 20, and turns on the speed at the 10, across the 5, and he shrugs off a tackle from Awuzie into the end zone for the touchdown. Todd Gurley, 35 yards. The knee looking just fine as the Rams take a 19-7 lead.
That's a big-time win for us, and I thought the key was being able to hold them to 50 yards and being able to rush for over 270 tonight. We knew it was going to be a physical game. I thought CJ and Todd both were outstanding. I thought the offensive line was great from the start. Aaron continued to make big-time plays at the right moments, and really that kind of personifies our team.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sean McVay, the McVay movement. I kind of liken it to an occult. Anyone who's ever been in contact with Coach McVay right now has seen his job stock skyrocket to the point where his quarterback coach, his friends, people who've ever shared a meal with him or delivered his mail, they're all coaching prospects in the best league on earth. And the Rams just added a chapter to the legend of Sean McVay.
I know him.
With the 273 yards rushing against the Dallas Cowboys and the way they dominated. They had their way on offense. It looked really good. Now what happens when they go into New Orleans to take on a different Sean? Sean Payton and Drew Brees. That's the NFC Championship. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin Kugler with the play-by-play on Westwood One and then the voice of Coach McVay. After that, I just found this hashtag and I've already answered my own question. This one is, I could easily right now post probably 20 different tweets using the hashtag things that are bad for your health. And it caught my attention as I was thinking about Kyler Murray being 5'9 and attempting to run in the NFL. That could be a thing that's really bad for your health. But instead, I posted the first thing that came to mind in my own life. Things that are bad for your health. That's our hashtag on this edition of Hump Show on After Hours. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you want to post your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can do that as well. And on our Facebook page, you always have the option of weighing in the visitors' comments, which are over on the right side of the page. Mike Martz, remember that name? It's a bit of a blast from the past, especially for those of you who don't remember the greatest show on turf. It was one of the most unstoppable offenses the NFL had ever seen. And it was Mike Martz who was at the helm. Think about it, though. He had Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. It was one amazing core on the offensive side of the ball. And the Rams went to two Super Bowls in 3 years. And of course, they won one, but then lost to the Patriots on the field goal by Adam Vinatieri. Remember, that was the upstart Patriots. Hadn't been to the Super Bowl since, I think, the 86, right? The 86 game against the Chicago Bears. and don't quote me on that, but I feel like that was the last time they were there. And they end up, instead of playing for overtime, Tom Brady takes them down the field and they get into position for the game-winning field goal. Anyway, that was an upset because it was against the greatest show on turf. Now, Martz certainly has the credibility to weigh in on what he's seeing with all these teams hiring offensive-minded head coaches. And it was interesting to hear his thoughts on the writer's block on CBS Sports HQ about Sean McVay and trying to capture that lightning in a bottle.
You know, if you can get a young coach and pay him a low salary, basically, in the league, and have him win a bunch of games, that's what they're looking for. That's what they're looking for. They only have one Sean McVay. They're just one of them. Now, this isn't a prototype. They don't just churn these things out. He's unique. He's very special, as is Sean Payton. You know, these are, and for some reason, the league thinks that they're all out there. They're not. You know, these good coaches, they come in all kinds of sizes and shapes and ages. And, you know, it just, the younger generation coaches, they're all not going to be Sean McVay. You have to understand how different and special this guy really is. Just because somebody's been with him doesn't mean he's going to be the next Sean McVay. It just doesn't work like that.
Except that many NFL teams are hoping that it does. Cliff Kingsbury out of that mold. Obviously, we know that Zach Taylor's still working, but he's supposed to be the next head coach in Cincinnati. And McVay did just become the youngest NFL head coach ever to win a playoff game. Maybe you end up catching lightning in a bottle, maybe you don't. But I appreciate what Mike Martz has to say. It's not that easy as association. This brilliance doesn't happen through osmosis.
It just doesn't work like that.
If you don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter. That's what Freddie Kitchens thinks of your idolizing Sean McVay and anyone that comes from his coaching tree. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I've already seen some really funny responses. Hashtag things that are bad for your health. Oh, and it's easy to say smoking. It's easy to say drinking too much alcohol.
Love Scott.
I get all of that. Think outside the box like this. Tweet from Knight Rider. Saints winning the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Hashtag things that are bad for your health. That's fantastic. All right, so on Twitter or on Facebook, don't forget to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's coming up on our Hump Show an hour from now. How bad was Cam Newton's shoulder exactly? The owner of the Panthers. He's telling it like it is. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Funchess wide right. Eli Apple on him. Second down and four. Newton looking at Funchess. Right side. Intercepted Apple.
Underthrown.
Underthrown.
Got right underneath him and picked it off in the end zone.
You know, we just got to be better. I got to be better. And that's what's so frustrating. When you want it so bad and you push, you put so much on your plate, and you know it doesn't come down to you, but at the end of the day, you just got to uphold your end of the bargain. And when certain things don't happen, you know, that's when frustration comes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of one Cam Newton, whose Carolina Panthers were at 6-2. Halfway through the season, and it all went terribly wrong after that, in large part because of his shoulder. This certainly blew up social media for a time on Tuesday. Panthers owner David Tepper acknowledges that Cam Newton could sit out 2019. Wait, what? I just had Adam Gase eyes. Are you kidding me? The Panthers are, quote, keeping all of their options open when it comes to the right shoulder, the throwing shoulder of Cam Newton. And that includes not allowing him to play in 2019. So thinking back to Andrew Luck, similar shoulder issues for Andrew Luck and how many times he stopped and started and stopped and started. And it finally was an entire season away from football that helped him to get right. This is, to me, the type of news that could change not just football in Charlotte, but the NFC South. And then I, just as a side note, go back to Kyler Murray and that discussion with Dane Brugler about his sustainability in the NFL. Cam Newton's become more and more of a pocket passer. He can be good as a pocket passer. but he still takes off and he still tries to leap over piles with the greatest of ease. The guy still likes to fly when he has the opportunity and he still gets hit. And when it comes to Cam Newton, as big as he is, as durable as he's been, you can't have a losing season because you have a banged up quarterback. And you also can't have a quarterback that puts himself at risk over and over and over again and expect him to be the guy behind an offensive line, the guy under center, expect him to be the face of your franchise for more than a decade without any time missed because of serious injuries. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. You're sending me your responses to the hashtag things that are bad for your health. I did not come up with this, but how cool is this? On my Twitter right now, it says After Hours is tweeting about this. We're trending, at least on my computer screen. Now, we don't have as many tweets as Sasuke. Is that what you said his name is? What's his name?
Sasuke.
Sasuke. So the U is silent. 154,000 tweets about Sasuke. I wish I had had the foresight to look and see how many tweets Adam Gase Eyes got 24 hours ago. That would have been fun, but I didn't. So yes, Sasuke is dominating any type of sports conversation. So is Trisha Paytas. She's also got a lot of tweets, like 32,000 of them right now. Anyway, back to things that are bad for your health. You're sending me some creative tweets, which I appreciate, and we'll get to those. You can post your questions for Ask Amy Anything, either show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Could you imagine the Carolina Panthers without Cam Newton? Could you imagine them benching him for a year? What do you maybe go after Nick Foles then? Teddy Bridgewater? Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, he was also in the NFC South. He could be available for a bargain basement price. The owner, David Tepper, he's being completely honest about how big of an issue this is for the Panthers moving forward.
Listen, that is obvious to anybody who watched this team. There's no secrets there. Cam's shoulder obviously was an issue later in the season, the second half of the season, if you want to call it that. I think it's pretty well known that he wasn't throwing in practices. That was probably a problem that threw off his rhythm. At the end of the season, we couldn't throw the ball downfield, which was a big problem.
Okay, so David Tepper believes he's not telling you anything you don't know. As the Panthers dropped 7 of their last 8 games. And the owner of the team is saying he couldn't throw the ball downfield. I mean, let's be honest. There are some quarterbacks in the NFL who can't throw the ball downfield. In the case of Cam Newton, I agree with him. The rust definitely played a role. It's like going out and only golfing once a week. I mean, you might hit some good shots, but you're not going to be nearly as consistent as someone who's out there practicing his rhythm and timing and that feel every day. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So obviously, if they're keeping all their options open and looking at worst case scenario, hashtag things that are bad for your health as a Carolina Panthers fan, not having your starting quarterback for 2019. The idea, though, is that you have to think long term, and that's the job of an owner for sure.
Of course, I'm concerned about it. I think, we and him are going to do everything we can to try to make that shoulder better. So I'm not going to be panicking about Cam's shoulder this year. I don't think we're going to panic about Cam's shoulder this year. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully he's great.
Hopefully. Cam did get shut down the final 2 games because of the shoulder. And obviously the Panthers weren't going to make the playoffs at that point. So there was no reason to keep him out there on the field. But I'll tell you, this blew me away. If it's that bad, why wasn't he shut down before? And they lost, what, six games in a row? Seven games in a row? But as I mentioned, seven of their last eight games. And they tanked. They literally fell off the edge of the cliff. If, in fact, the earth was flat, as Kyrie Irving believes, they got to the end and to the edge and fell off.
That's terrible.
That's where they went. Now, could the success of Andrew Luck in taking a year off, now, he didn't want to, he had to. They had no choices. They stopped and started. They tried over and over to get him healthy without taking all the extra time. And every time he came back, he had soreness. And every time he came back, there were complications. But after having the year away, and after they were uber cautious with Andrew Luck, he comes back this season, 39 touchdowns, the second most of his career. They had an offensive line in front of him that protected him big time. Was it 4,593 yards? It was right around 4,600 yards passing. So could that be an encouragement to the Panthers as they think about what to do with their starting QB? Now, what about personnel changes? Again, owner David Tepper of the Carolina Panthers making all of his comments on their website. And he starts out by referring to general manager Marty Herney.
So starting with Marty, I think he has a good handle on the draft. And I'm pretty sure that he can look at the talent we need in the draft to make the team better, which I think he has contributed to, well contributed to in the future. As far as Ron is concerned, Ron is a good coach. He has a locker room still. He always had, never lost it. If you look through the season and what happened, there were some unforeseen things there. And again, if you look at Cam's shoulder and you really analyze it, you know, there's a couple games there that, but for the shoulder, we would have won.
I mean, I appreciate that Mr. Tepper is just laying it all out there. But gosh, if you're Cam Newton and you're hearing that, you kind of feel like crap, like the poop emoji. That's how you feel, to describe it in pictures. There were a couple of games there. Now, I don't agree with that. You can't go back and rewrite history. You can't say, oh, if Cam Newton could have hit a couple more passes, we would have won these games. It's just not that simplistic. But the fact that he's even willing to say that, if he could have thrown the ball downfield, there's a couple more games we would have won. Ouch. That hurts. I mean, what about the games that your defense gave up so many points that your offense couldn't keep up? There's a lot of blame to go around there. However, things that are bad for your health, disagreeing with the boss. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You want to know another thing that's bad for your health? Potentially. Acting like a diva in the NFL. New Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians. Of course, you also have heard him on CBS all year as a member of our NFL TV stable. I'm not even sure he's allowed to be talking about players from other teams, but whatevs. He was on the Adam Schefter podcast, and this was his direct quote about Antonio Brown. There's too much miscommunication, too much ... diva. I don't think he said the ... I think he probably just took a good pause. There's too much miscommunication, too much diva. He's got to make better decisions off the field, be on time, do some of those little things. And then he even goes back to 2010 when the Steelers drafted him and said, that's not the same guy that I remember from him getting drafted. That's not the same guy I remember as a rookie. Again, this is the Adam Schefter podcast. He says he was the hardest working. He and Emmanuel Sanders, they went after it because Mike Tomlin used to tell them, two dogs, one bone. Oh, that's so Mike Tomlin. Why do we not have Mike Tomlin saying two dogs, one bone? I so want that Mike Tomlin drop. Can anyone do impersonations so we can fake it? Two dogs, one bone. Oh my gosh, is that not you know what's, that's Mike Tomlin. Hashtag things that are bad for your health. Two dogs, one bone. Anyway, he said, the end of the season, they were both winning for us to go to the Super Bowl. But he says Antonio Brown is different now. Arians was there as the offensive coordinator. He knows. He's familiar with Antonio Brown, but doesn't like the direction that he's gone since he got paid. Hashtag things that are bad for your health. I mean, the nice payday, that can be helpful. Being a diva, not so much. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.